Hello, Braden.
Hi, David.
So we're talking with Braden Abraham of Seattle Repertory Theater, who is the Associate Artistic Director there. And you're also the director of the Writers Group.
That's right, yeah.
And so talk to me about the Writers Group. We've been reading about it on HowlRound this week, which is nice.
Yeah, well, the Writers Group is it's basically modeled on the emerging Writers Group in New York at the Public, and the Boston, I forget the title of it, but their fellowship program at the Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, in talking to, you know, talking to writers in Seattle over the last few years, and, you know, when I sit down with writers, I often say, you know, what do you need besides more money and more productions? What do you need? What can I, you know, what can we help you with? And several writers said to me, I'd love a group that met regularly that I could, you know, share work and, you know, to build more of a community of writers. And so, so when Jerry and I were, you know, kickstarting this new play initiative, our new play program, we decided that a component of that, a good component of that, would be a writers group. And it's a 2-year fellowship. We give the writers just a little bit of a stipend, basically to cover their transportation and, you know, dinner maybe. When they come down to the theater, they meet twice a month. And, you know, maybe some extra money in case their computer breaks or something like that. So we give them a stipend. It's a 2-year residency. So this is the first year we've done it. We have 5 writers in the group. And we started in October and we'll run through June and then we'll take the summer off. And starting in September, we'll add 3 to 5 more writers on a 2-year residency. So then there'll be, you know, a 1-year overlap between the groups of writers. In addition to, you know, the regular meetings and the stipend, they get casting support and, you know, photocopying all the sort of in-house resources of the theater, plus up to 1 reading per year. So we're actually doing a kind of showcase series right now of readings from, you know, from the members of the group.
And what happens when they get together? Is that something, does the artistic staff host that, or are they on the
Yeah, it's I facilitate it, and if I'm in rehearsal or for, you know, some reason not available, then Jerry Manning, the artistic director, he'll step in, or Aaron Kraft, who's our casting director, will step in and host that. And I think it's good for the writers too, because they get to develop a relationship with Aaron and Jerry as well as myself, so they get to know the entire artistic staff here, not just me.
And what kinds of things happen in those meetings?
Well, this basic structure is that, you know, 3 people share. It's a 2-hour meeting. 3 people share 20 minutes of material, and then there's 10 minutes of discussion. And we just, you know, we just sit around the table and read whatever anybody brings in, and you know, have a brief discussion about it. And then, you know, the other 20 or 30 minutes of time is spent talking about, just kind of catching up about where people are at in general and if they've seen any work around town or elsewhere. And so, you know, various other topics come up about writing and theater.
And is it working as you imagined it would when you...
Yeah, I mean, we've been learning as we go, but I you know, it certainly has.
What's
I think
learning. Let's dig in there, because that's what everybody wants to know: is what do people doing to do any of this stuff?
Well, I think it's, you know, one thing we've talked about is, like, for instance, with this reading series that we're doing now. You know, at first we thought, well, let's just schedule the readings along the way based on where you guys are at, and, you know, so it was more about like where each individual writer was at in terms of sharing the work.
Yeah.
And what we found, at least this year, and this could change next year, is that that most everybody in the group wanted to have a kind of festival atmosphere to share the work, both for the exposure and, you know, to get a collective energy around sharing the work with people around town. So that element has become more public than I think we originally imagined it to be. And that's been writer driven more than institutional driven, which I think is a good thing. But it's a good thing for both the institution and the writers as well. So that, I guess that's one thing.
We hear so much about people wanting to be able to set their own developmental timelines, and often reading schedules and things are set at the convenience of the organization, not at the organic moment in the process when they were necessary. But what you're finding is that the writers themselves have placed a value on the festival nature of the work.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of this has been driven by scheduling in the institution, and you know, when we have time available, when we have resources available for casting and that kind of thing. That's certainly part of it. But this particular group of writers is eager, I think, to share the work with the public and feel confident about, you know, where they're at on these individual pieces and want to get it out there. And I think that's great, because I think part of the impetus behind this is to just get more of these writers' work out there in the community and to have a kind of collective energy around sharing their work in order to gain more exposure for them.
Was that part of the sense of the scene as you were imagining this lab together? Was that part of the sense of the scene that there are writers here, there are institutions here that are interested in new work, but the two don't know each other or they're not meeting each other in the work?
That's right. And I think, yes, absolutely. I think just to get more of a sense of the community and to get the writers to work to help and push each other in order to create more energy. But I think for us as an institution, for Seattle Rep, you know, Jerry is, when we reinvigorated our new play program, we wanted to develop a tiered system of getting more writers in the building and getting to know more writers, and certainly local writers. So part of that has been offering commissions, and we have 7 commissions out right now, 3 of which are for local playwrights, one of which we're going to premiere in the fall, Cheryl West's new play, Pullman Porter Blues, which will then go on to Arena Stage from here. But, you know, one part of it was that we had to change our submission policy, and I know you know about this from working at Arena.
Yeah.
We decided to no longer accept unsolicited submissions, even from local writers, which is something that we were doing for a while. And what I decided was, well, instead of reading a lot of plays that we have no means of producing, what about, you know, collecting submissions from local writers in the hopes of getting them into this writers group, which will give us the opportunity to work with writers over 2 years and get to know them and get to know their work and establish a relationship with them in the hopes that that will lead to something else, to a production or to a workshop or to a commission or all three. And so, you know, that thinking is behind this as well.
Yeah.
You know, to establish more relationships with writers here.
Yeah. I still have all of the visible scars of having been public about my thinking about the submission policy at Arena.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the response to you guys?
Well, we've had a little bit of blowback from it, but I don't think as much as what you experience.
I think part of it is
because you're
myself.
More exposed. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
I had a little bit lanced that boil myself, and there was less there for you. No, but I mean, we're laughing about it, but it's such a serious matter, and it does require a kind of increased level of personal integrity around then, therefore, what are you doing? You know, it's not integrity, it's personal attentiveness to what you're doing about this work. So what did you say you were going to do, and are you doing it?
What we've said, what we've said is we established this writers group where we've got these commissions going, we're committing to producing. I'm Cheryl West Commission. So there's plays are moving.
Mm-hmm.
Plays are moving through. You know what I mean? Towards production.
Right.
I think that's
than
the,
they were.
Yeah, and I think that is the ultimate goal, is to invest in writers, to establish a relationship with writers that moves them towards production. And gives them more meaningful support. You know, one of the problems that I had with, because our staff, our artistic staff has been cut back 60% since I started here almost 10 years ago, we just don't have the capacity to process as many plays as we used to. So it made more sense to me and to Jerry to organize those efforts around supporting writers that we feel like we can get behind and we're going to establish long-term relationships with, and still try to have avenues for new writers to get to us at the same time. But,
yeah.
You know, what I don't want a literary department that's window dressing. You know,
yeah.
I want a literary department that is a pipeline towards getting work on our stages, and that's what Jerry wants as well. So,
yeah. Is there a Seattle voice in the playwriting community? Is there something that identifies the community of writers from a artistic or aesthetic standpoint?
I don't know. I have a hard time saying it's one thing. I mean, I think people are surprised at how many great writers live here when they find out. You know, Cheryl West, Robert Schenken lives here, and we've commissioned him. You know, all the writers have been mentioned this week on HowlRound, several of which are in our group, and many more. So it's very diverse, I think, in terms of voices. And, you know, I think what writers here need is encouragement, and they need funding.
Mm.
They need funding more than anything. That's what's going to, you know, what you said about the Playwright Center, I think, you know, we're poised to have that kind of renaissance here if we had the funding to do it.
Yeah.
And
so, is there an organization that's taking the lead in trying to create that, or is that hasn't yet catalyzed even the kind of, I mean, it always is, it does come down to someone has to take the reins of saying, I'm going to make this happen.
I think everybody's taking a piece of it. We certainly are with all of our commissions and our programs. I think Kurt is, and opening the doors to a lot of different smaller arts groups and, you know, the kinds of commissions and collectives that he's got going on over there down at ACT. I think Andrew Russell, you know, what he's trying to do in terms of reviving Intimon on a new model. You know, he's including some local writers. There's not going to be any in this coming season, but I know that he has plans to engage writers from here and elsewhere. And the Fifth Avenue Theater has a new play program that they're starting, and the Village Theater. So not to mention the smaller arts groups that, you know, have relationships with writers. So I think everybody's taking a piece of it. But I think the problem is sustainability. I mean, we were able to get all this going because we got an influx, you know, we've raised more money for new plays, and we're going to continue to do that. But there needs to be public funding. There needs to be more, foundation funding, and the foundations here do a lot, but I think there needs to be more in order to get it to the next level of supporting writers here.
Yeah. And what are you seeing? You have the benefit of having been able to look at what the HowlRound discussion has been as we're having this phone conversation, because we're having it right before we post it. And what's your sense of the conversation as it's gone thus far this week?
Well, I think it's great to see that so many people who live and work here love living and working here, and the tightness of this community. I think the comments about how, you know, Seattle historically has been these like small fiefdoms in a way, where everybody's kind of operating on doing their own thing, and that we're seeing that breaking down a little bit more, and the more cross-pollination between the large organizations and the small organizations, and you know, more of an ability for artists to, you know, actors and directors and playwrights to kind of move between the smaller and the larger organizations. I think all of that is signs of a healthy art scene. So, you know, I think that's encouraging. I think we just need to continue to advocate for each other and let everybody know what each person is doing, what each organization is doing. You know, that's what I've been getting out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I've been flogging this kind of concept of trying to align all the, you know, available resources toward the increased outcomes from those resources. And even just listening to you talk about how there are lots of people taking pieces of the equation,
mm-hmm.
how what maybe that next step becomes the question of how do these all line up to be...
Exactly. How do we organize all of our efforts? Yes, yes, yes.
Something
I think
is
that
larger
that's
than
right.
some of its parts. You know, I always think about Buckminster Fuller. We did that show across the driveway there at Intiman
right.
a bunch of years ago. But his definition of synergy has always really intrigued me. I'm going to quote it a little bit wrong, but it's the behavior of whole systems unpredicted by the behavior of their separate parts. Mm-hmm. And so that these, you know, is there some way to bring together those efforts in a way that creates something that nobody can yet imagine out of the same resources all, you know, sort of focused in their own direction, you know, if they come together. So that's always the hardest thing. It's a community organizing challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that was the thing that was the secret for me at the Z-Space, and several, you know, that area is so full of community organizer mentality. It's almost over-organized, the Bay Area. It's gridlock. Every single idea has some hugely organized constituency around it, so you know, you can't even agree that it's time to end a meeting. But what it is a mentality of organizing, and so I had that benefit there, being able to approach it as a community organizing effort. And it sounds like people, the way you're describing it, there's a lot of really committed people who are willing to do the work of making something happen, but it's not yet a kind of natural inertia toward making it happen together.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all working. Now, that is what we're all working towards. I mean, that's certainly what Jerry and I are working towards here, and I feel like it's safe to say that that's what Kurt and Carlo and Anita down at ACT are working towards, and you know, and the hope is that we're going to meet, I think, in the middle, everybody, and we're going to be able, and the more, you know, we're going to be able to generate more collective energy around new work. There's a palpable excitement for it here, you know.
Great.
I think what Yusuf said also about this is a renaissance time for new writing. I think we're feeling that here. I think it is across the country. And, you know, there's been a lot of emphasis this week about what's happening in Seattle in the local scene. But I really feel like at the Rep, it's also our responsibility to bring in playwrights from elsewhere and to introduce new voices into this community as well. And so that's part of our...
Talk about that, because that's where an organization like, you know, the Flagship always comes under pressure from the local community, and some of it's necessary and productive, and some of it's less so. But how do you articulate the value of writers from other communities in the Seattle Rep season? What does that do?
Well, I mean, we're just about to close Clybourne Park here with a complete, you know, almost, well, an all-local Seattle cast. There are two people from out of town, but they've worked here before and are part of the Seattle Rep community. And, you know, I think it's important for Bruce Norris to have a voice in Seattle, you know. And Bruce came out, and he'd never been to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like he liked what what was happening here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that, I think that's exciting. You know, Terrell McCraney, when he came out and did The Breach several years ago, and then we did The Brother Size 2 years after that, and it was a huge hit for us, and people here were blown back by that voice. And so he should be, he's a major American writer who should, you know, be in Seattle. So I just feel like we should carry that ball here. And, you know, I think that Jerry does too, you know. And it's also a place where writers of a national and artists of a, you know, national caliber can come out here and work on something and bring it to fruition here and, you know, then take it elsewhere. I mean, Dan Sullivan established that here, and we've, you know, picked that up. Like when Dennis O'Hara and Lisa Peterson were working on an Iliad, mm-hmm. you know, they came to Jerry, and Jerry said, let's do it. There was no script yet, right. Really, but we committed to producing it, and it started here, and now it's, you know, being produced all over the country. Yeah. So Seattle is uniquely positioned to be able to, I think, incubate work of a national scale that can then, you know, that can start here and move elsewhere. And I think we should take advantage of that.
Let's pick at that, too, see if we can articulate it more fully. What's the uniqueness, do you think, Braden? Uniquely positioned, what are the specific things that you think that Seattle offers, as opposed to, you know, I'm sitting in Boston or Chicago or L.A. or D.C. Talk a little bit about the specific.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the quality of the, especially if for writers, I think the quality of the acting and design community, especially out here, you know, I think writers from elsewhere are often surprised with how amazing, what an amazing talent pool we have out here. So I think you can come out here and you can, and I don't know what the community is like in D.C. or San Francisco, but here, you know, I think writers are often surprised about what the level of excellence here with that. So they can really get a lot of work done on their plays. I think, you know, the fact that we're, because the theater world is so East Coast centric and specific and New York centric, the fact that we're, you know, we're out here in the corner, slightly isolated still. The world is so connected now, it's hard to be really isolated anymore. But I feel like just our geographic position sort of takes us a little bit out of the spotlight, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's the ability to kind of come out here and relax a little bit and do some deeper work that may not be able to happen when you have all the pressure that you have in, say, New York. I think that still exists here. So there's that part, and you know, I just think it's the
place too.
It's also just it's such a beautiful place to be. You know, the quality of life is high here, and I think that inspires people creatively. Although, yeah. You know, maybe not everybody. Not everybody loves the mountains and the water and the rain. That's for sure.
Right. No, but when I've been out there, I have very much felt like I am away with myself, you know.
That's a good way to put it.
There's a kind of retreatness to it, even from, you know, San Francisco or you know, just arriving in Seattle, but never having actually lived in Seattle. Always arriving in Seattle, I felt like, oh, I'm on some kind of retreat, whether it's a vacation or I'm here to work. I can always, you know, look outside, and even in the rain is always interesting to me what it does. Different, depending on my state of mental health at the time, I think, or my mood, it's, you know, is it helpful or is it harmful? But when it's helpful, it's really a great kind of retreat curtain, you know?
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, another one of those coffee towns.
That's right. There's plenty of caffeine to keep you going.
So what are you most excited about right now in outside the writer's group in what's coming up in the new work world around the rep?
Well, certainly, you know, Pullman Forward Blues,
right?
Yeah, premiering. We have this big 50th anniversary season coming up that we're gearing up for. So, so there's that, and we're also going to get a new play festival going next year.
Oh.
With three pieces that will that we haven't announced yet, but that'll be in the winter.
What shape will that take? Three full productions, or is it festival?
It'll be workshop productions in our small black box space, and they're likely to be pieces that are close to us, either commissions or pieces that we've been developing or had, you know, conversations with the writers about. So we're gearing up for that, and that's a new thing for us. We've never done that. So that's another yet another tier in our system of getting new work up. And then I'm working on this really exciting project right now with Mariah C. Kaminsky, who's a local writer performer, and we're doing a rock musical about Bonnie and Clyde up on Capitol Hill in this little space called the Hugo House right now. So, that's the immediate future.
About Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, it's sort of part biography, part Bonnie and Clyde, part Patti Smith. It's very cool.
Hey, yeah. What's the role of the universities in the infrastructure there?
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of years ago, we did two partnerships. We did a summer residency program up at Western Washington University, which is in Bellingham, just about 80 miles north of here. It was sort of modeled on, because Jerry Manning worked at New York Theater Workshop for a long time, and you know, on the full Vassar New York Theater Workshop thing that's been going on forever. So Jerry was interested in something like that. So we started this partnership a few years ago, and we took a couple pieces up there. Stephanie Timm's play, and she wrote something for HowlRound this week, and Brian Willis, and that was great. And then we also we partnered with the University of Washington to develop a new piece by Francis Cowick that's since premiered in New York called Lidless. And so that was a kind of experiment to really, because we're talking to the universities a lot about how we can, you know, pool our resources to, you know, work with students and also develop work and, you know, kind of have a cross-pollination there. And that worked out great the first year. The problem was that then the bottom fell out of the funding. Especially for the state universities. So, you know, Western wasn't able to, you know, provide what they were able to provide the year we went. And so the cost just became too high for us to go up there. And with UW, I think it mostly became a scheduling issue. You know, they have such a robust program up there. It was hard for us to find a space that worked with both of our calendars in order to continue to, you know, do workshops up there.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that fell away last year. But hopefully, you know, both of these things will come back, because they were certainly helpful for us, and I think beneficial to the students as well.
Yeah.
The other local university is Cornish College of the Arts. And Richard E.T. White is a director. He just directed a production of Red for us, very successful production. And, you know, and we haven't had any sort of formal relationship with them yet, but a lot of artists who work here work there, and so there's a kind of back and forth.
Yeah. Do they have relationships with any of the organizations, Cornish, or is it really more they're doing the training and then the individuals are making their way into the community?
Yeah, it's more that they're doing the training and then the individuals are making their way into the community. I think. I don't know. I actually I shouldn't There may be other relationships that I don't know about, but for Seattle Rep, that's the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's certainly more that could be done there, and we're always talking about it. It's just a matter of lining up calendars and budgets and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, much to be done, which is part of the excitement of the times, huh?
Yeah. But there is certainly a momentum right now. I'm feeling it. I think a lot of us are feeling it out here. And there's a focus. And I think we're making some good work happen out here.
Well, great. Thank you for sharing the time with me here,
David.
And I'm just going to have to hang up and post this call. So
okay. Well, it's good talking with you.
If we leave you, left with any questions, just fill it in on the comments. if I didn't get to the end of it. But okay. Thank you very much, and good luck. I can't wait. Of course, I'll see Pullman Porter probably in D.C. Before it closes. I'll keep an eye on what's happening there with the writers group. It's a great addition. Congratulations.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, David. Thanks for all you're doing out there.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you
soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye.